on bringing you down exactly the same way. By the way, when you and I agree to disagree with God on what he has said, and we'll use the illustration again because it is so in your heart, in your face, profound for our country right now, the issue of divorce and remarriage. When you decide to disagree with the clear words of what God has said on the matter of divorce and or remarriage when your spouse is still living, you are making yourself either equal with God or greater than God. You're disagreeing with his viewpoint. And you're setting yourself up, just like Satan did, to equivocate with what God has said. It kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. Do you think it would keep you from the promised land? This is not a game, my friends. These things are not to be taken lightly, but our pastors won't teach about it. They won't preach about it because it doesn't raise money. It doesn't curry favor. They become people pleasers rather than God pleasers. Exchanging the truth of God for a lie. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven because they exchange the truth of God for a lie. That man could be his own truth and his own authority and his own God. Very, very serious. The Apostle Paul put it another way in 1 Thessalonians. He says that the great deception would come upon the earth and men's hearts would be open to this great deception and lie because for two reasons. One, they love not the truth. And number two, they take pleasure in unrighteousness. They love not the truth, and they take pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, I hope that you are a lover of the truth, but you cannot say that you're a lover of the truth if you disagree with what God has said. You can't do it. That's a lie. It's deception. You're playing mental and spiritual gymnastics with yourself. If you have to work double and triple time to try to justify in your own mind what seems very clear in the Scriptures concerning a particular attitude or behavior or way, that should put you on notice, my friend, that you are in great danger of making yourself equal with God and bringing His wrath upon your head. Don't do it. Let's humble ourselves. Humble ourselves before God, and He'll exalt us in due season. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, is walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And this is one of the ways he does that. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. And I would urge you, by the way, to get a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception, your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries. Get it on our website, saveus.org, www.saveus.org. God bless you. Be a blessing. Let's humble ourselves before God and prepare the way of the Lord in our lives for history's final hour.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our...
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality was usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Michael Shaw of Freedom Advocates, located right here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay, where I live. And we're going to be talking this evening about Agenda 21. Now, certainly if you listen to the media, if you read the newspapers and magazines, you'll very seldom, if ever, hear any mention of Agenda 21, and yet is the master plan for everything going on. It is the agenda for the 21st century. It was established at the Second Earth Summit held in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. And, of course, this really is an offshoot of the meeting that was held on the yacht of Prince Charles back at the Britannia. Basically, they called in the financial and leaders of the world. Al Gore was there. A lot of key people were there. And they hammered out the plan that would become the blueprint for what was to transpire in society. And the whole idea was to lower living standards, come up with this idea, we're running out of minerals, we're running out of oil, we're running out of electricity, we're running out of water, we're running out of air, we're running out of everything, and oh my goodness, the air is contaminated, and we're just going to have to dramatically cut back on the utilization of everything and dramatically decrease the world population. Which, of course, is why the fertility rates are falling throughout the world. The male sperm count is falling throughout the world. They're in the process of carrying out their population control program today, and nobody will tell the American people. Well, with that as a background, Michael Shaw, you pick up the story because you're the expert on Agenda 21 and Aunt Ickley.
Well, Dr. Stan, I've got to say that I'm beginning to see the rise of awareness of a bit of Agenda 21. In places all across the country and really all over the world. But what matters to Americans is how rapidly will the American people come to an understanding of what it is that ails us. I mean, we've got a trade policy that causes our unemployment to skyrocket, and our manufacture of meaningful goods to be floated offshore, and we live with this fiat money system, this funny money system, a system that's dishonest to the core and that's run by a narrow elite. And then, of course, we've got the United Nations Agenda 21 dynamic, which has been fully adopted by the federal government, fully signed up for the federal government, and now it's down into every county in the country. Every county has an Agenda 21 policy. Very few people still know that that's the case. But people, all people, feel the effects of Agenda 21. Agenda 21 works to abolish private property. It works to educate your children to become global citizens. That's why they're not learning the basics of the American experience and American history. And then thirdly, it works to control all human action. And it uses technology to do that. That's certainly the case. Everybody knows from the cameras at the stoplights to the medical records that are all online, to just a mass of information that's collected on every citizen in America now, that we are becoming increasingly subjected to the kind of control mechanisms that are being established in order to turn all human beings into chattel of a ruling elite.
And of course, so President Obama says, you know, we want to preserve the privacy of people in this country. That's why we're going to put their medical records, you know, on the computer. Ladies and gentlemen, is there anything wrong with that idea? Keep privacy, you know, we're going to put your medical records on the computer. Ladies and gentlemen, they say one thing, they do the other. But the ultimate goal is control. We'll be back in just a moment here with Michael Shaw right here at Radio Liberty. Michael, you pick up the story.
Well, people, as people come to understand Agenda 21, it gives us a real chance to salvage America. If we don't come to an understanding of Agenda 21, we're going to go down the path of this one world government, which is the action plan for Agenda 21. And so, when we come to understand it, and it's just vital that all your listeners understand Agenda 21, that they educate their children and inform their parents and their siblings and their neighbors and the towns generally in which they live of the dynamic of Agenda 21. Now, it may be that the first person in town to begin to bring up this issue will be the person who's ignored by those who subscribe to the Agenda 21 formulation. But over time, and we're seeing this in community after community all across the United States, in time, more and more people simply swallow the pill. And as that happens, we have a chance, individually and in our community, to begin to change the dynamic that we all know is bringing America down. And so we got to pause. Many people say, oh, it's too complicated for me. I don't want to study that. Well, if your nation is attacked and you're put into an army, you spend a good period of time learning how to shoot. Well, our country has been invaded. We need to respond not with a military. We have to respond, though, with an understanding of the nature of the invasion, because then we can push it offshore. But if we don't understand the nature of it, and it takes some study, that's the unfortunate part. But that's the reality of life. Nothing comes for free or easily, especially that that cuts right to the core of what makes the American experience the greatest political achievement in the history of the world. And now it lies waiting to fail.
And of course, it's being progressively eroded in the name of sustainable development. Oh, we've got to do something about the pollution of the air. Carbon dioxide's a terrible polluter, and of course, it's been far higher than it is today many times, you know, in past centuries. But that's all right. It doesn't matter what the truth is. If you control the media, you can get people to believe almost anything, and it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, you say it convincingly enough, you control the television. You can show pictures of poor little polar bears on an iceberg just about ready to melt, and you know they're going to drown. People will believe the lies that you tell them. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael is simply describing the fact that America is under attack today. The attack is not coming from without. It's coming from within, from a subversive movement in America that is being coordinated all across our country through Agenda 21. And, of course, the reason you probably haven't heard of it is because they control the media. They don't want you to understand there is a subversive plan to destroy the rights of private property, to destroy individual rights, to get you out of your car, to force you to use less electricity, to force you to use less water, to limit the number of children you can have, or perhaps you will not have any children, or perhaps you'll die unnecessarily of cancer or some other iatrogenic disease. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know, so you pick up the story there.
Well, Dr. Stan, you make mention of a series of things. What sticks in my mind from this is the advent of smart meters here in Santa Cruz, all around California. And wherever you happen to be listening from, you can expect smart meters either to be into your community now or coming to it. And of course, smart meters are part of the way of addressing the desire for control. They want to know when you're using your power, what you're using it on. They want to be able to limit, control, or even cut off your power for certain uses as time goes along. And all the technology that's being put to use to cause this to happen is a perfect illustration of how technology is being used today. It's being used to wrap us and corral us. Now, I'm not against technology, but I am against the use of technology for purposes of eliminating freedom.
Well, it really is subversive. This whole thing, for instance, if you have a new laptop computer, did you know there's a little camera on the top of that? Chances are it has there. You may not even know it's there, but it's the means by which they can watch you. And you say, well, who would want to watch me? Well, you remember 1984? They watched everybody, and you never know where they're going to be watching. If you have one, put a piece of tape over it and keep it closed, so that at least it'd be more difficult for them to watch you on a regular basis. Actually, in some of the schools, they were discovered the schools were actually watching the students at home. Certainly, they have all of these things. They have the capacity to listen to your telephone conversations, or even when you're not on the cell phone, why they can simply tap into what you're saying when your cell phone is turned off and in your pocket. They have the technology. Why would they develop it? To watch the people. There really are people who have a different worldview, but go ahead, Michael.
Well, that's so much the case. I want to talk about another issue you mentioned in the intro, and that is about global warming. The Agenda 21 program needs a global crisis, because it's the global crisis that's being used to advance the programs that advance one world government. Now, Agenda 21 is the program to advance one world government, but up to today, it has been global warming that's been used as the global crisis to warrant the implementation of Agenda 21. So as the American public begins to discard the nonsense of man-caused global warming, they need to know what comes with that dynamic. And while the observers at the national level have said that global warming in the United States Senate has been exposed and killed, and I say to those folks, well, that's great, but at the local community, organizations like ICLEI, which you made mention of, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, uses global warming, as they do here in Santa Cruz. The ICLEI organization has a global warming czar for Santa Cruz, if you can imagine that. So the reality is that the global warming hoax is having its full effect at the local level, regardless of its exposure at both the international and national levels. The infrastructure for using global warming as the excuse to transform our local communities is flying high right now. And if you live in Santa Cruz or you live in 178 other California cities, your city is a dues-paying member, taxpayer dollars going to pay this ICLEI organization to come into your community and show it how to become a community of the international order. It's the local council, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. That is what's relying on the global warming hoax in order to implement laws, regulations in your community that advance the Agenda 21 objectives, to include the abolition, step by step, the abolition of private property.
And, of course, you know, it's really fascinating as you see what's going on today. I mean, basically, they want to limit your activity, your ability to get water. And so, basically, they're tearing out dams all across the country. Oh, why are they doing it? Oh, well, they want the little fishies to be able to swim better. They're certainly doing everything they can to drive up the cost of electricity. They won't allow us to have nuclear power here. We can subsidize nuclear power all the rest of the world, but we can't have cheap and efficient nuclear power here in America. Why? Because they want to limit you as far as your use of electricity. They want to drive down the living standards here in the United States. I mean, after all, why should you have 24 hours of electricity every day when in Baghdad they only have 3 hours of electricity every day? Is that really fair? And there are lots of parts of China that don't have any electricity at all. The outer areas there, many of the villages, Well, what we've got to do is just lower the living standards in America so we can raise them elsewhere. And people say, that's crazy talk. But so much of what's going on in America is crazy today. Why can't we have nuclear power in America? Why is there so much antagonism to the burning of coal to generate electricity? Why are they tearing out the dams so they can do away with hydroelectric electricity? When you understand what this is all about, it all makes sense. If you don't understand that it's all an effort to drive down our living standards, transfer our jobs and manufacturing overseas, none of this makes sense. When you understand what this is all about, you'll understand literally everything going on today, and you can begin to communicate with other people. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But these programs are literally in every community across America, aren't they, Michael?
Well, they certainly are. We are totally inundated with the Agenda 21 program. And just to give people who are fresh to this issue some basics for understanding the dynamic, Agenda 21 comes out of the UN Earth Summit held in Rio de Janeiro in 1992. 178 nations signed up to comply with its dictates, including the United States. George Bush Sr. signed on behalf of the U.S. He brought it back to this country and infused every federal cabinet office. If you go into any federal agency and Google Agenda 21 or Sustainable Development, the two terms mean the same thing, you'll find links at every federal cabinet. Because that is the focus under Democrat and Republican presidencies. That is the focus for the entire federal government these days. And what they've done is infuse those programs into every county in the country. And they've done it without a word coming out of the press, although that's beginning to change, Dr. Stan. That's beginning to change.
Well, I'm just so glad, and I know that there are people all across the country who have heard you talk, and of course they're beginning to organize their local community, and when people hear about it, they don't know what to make of it, and then after a while they begin to see what's going on, and when they realize that this is designed to destroy the infrastructure of this country, that it's designed to limit their freedom, to take away their property, to limit their use of water, to limit their use of electricity, to limit their use of oil, and certainly all of these things are designed. They want to get you out of your car. They want to get you onto a bicycle. That's why they're putting in the bicycle trails every place. That's why they're building these new multi-high-rise buildings right along railways so that you will have the convenience of a rail line. You just won't have to have a car. They have long-range plans. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know.
Well, that is also true. As the American people begin to understand, and they are, I believe that understanding is going to build to a crescendo. And it's nice to see that around the country there are all kinds of institutes for the study of the Constitution that have begun to arise. And each of those organizations have people who are becoming informed about what America is and what it's special role in the history of mankind is all about. And that gives rise to causing people to need to understand what it is that ails us. I mean, right at the core, there's 1,000 battles to fight. We can't fight and win all those battles. But if we know the head of this octopus, we can be astute and capable of taking this monster down. And to understand Agenda 21 is to see into the eyes of the octopus. And once we've identified the source, we can begin the process of reversing the influence of the globalist Agenda 21 program. But we have no chance of winning, having to fight 1,000 battles. The brush fires are everywhere. We cannot fight all of those battles and survive long enough to win the battle, to win the war against the globalist invasion of the United States. So that's why it's so important for people to pause and understand this. Now, some folks who are new to this subject in the audience might say, well, wait a minute, this is too preposterous. You know, my local officials, I mean, they always talk about sustainability, but these aren't tyrants that are trying to destroy America. They wouldn't do that. And I may say, in their hearts, that may be true. But in order to rise in the political system, Democrat and Republican both, you have to adopt the premise of Agenda 21 or you simply will not be supported. And at that point, you're out of office as American politics works today. And that is our problem.
And Grizzle, most of our congressmen know exactly what's going on. They just don't want the public to know because, after all, how could they justify being involved in subversive activity? And this is subversive, ladies and gentlemen. It's frankly treasonous. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. We'd love to hear what you think. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, Dr. Stan, just to give people, and for many people, a renewed overview of what Agenda 21 is, let's talk about the...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
With the housing, it has to do with the utilization of water and of us in need of electricity and all the things that really make life certainly quite enjoyable here in the United States. But if you notice, of course, that there are people in the world who do not have all the luxuries we have, and so the whole idea is equitable distribution of wealth between nations, and to raise our living standards to that of the Mexican peasant or the Chinese peasant. And when we do that, of course, they will have accomplished the goals laid out in the Earth Charter, which is the Mein Kampf of everything going along in America and in the world today. The Earth Charter was written by one of the most powerful men in the world, the nephew of David Rockefeller, a man named Stephen Rockefeller. Basically, the Agenda 21 is available. The Global Biodiversity Assessment came out of the Second Earth Summit. These things are all available. You can read them. You need to find out what's going on. And then if you are concerned about the idea that they want to take away all freedom and establish a massive bureaucracy, then hopefully you will get involved locally, because that's what it's all about. Their slogan is, think globally but act locally, and take over control of the local government. And these people are willing to work night after night after night, day after day after day, because they have an agenda, and that is to limit your freedom. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we do know that in cities across America that have heard these programs, why the message is getting out. Michael, aren't you going on a nationwide speaking tour very, very soon?
Well, I won't call it nationwide, but I am hitting the South and, you know, three or four states, Texas and Alabama and Arkansas and Florida. And multiple cities in most of those states, and which is a good thing because, of course, Texas is under such massive pressure to internationalize the American road system through the adoption of what's called the Trans-Texas Corridor. This is a globalist objective of putting a road that begins in central Mexico and ends up in, you know, throughout Canada. And it circulates all through the United States. You see, this is intended to be the new distribution system for international goods coming into this country. It effectively eliminates our border, eliminates customs at our border, and puts the whole trade system in the hands of globalists.
And I think it's so important for people to understand they really do intend to move our manufacturing, literally all of it, overseas. They certainly have forced the aluminum industry out of the country because they've run up the cost of electricity. Why remove most of our automotive production overseas? We used to produce 18,000 cars a year. Today we produce about 10 million cars a year. Certainly they've moved our electronics overseas. They've moved they're in the process of moving the textile industry overseas, and they certainly want to move a great deal of the agriculture. That's why they've shut down the water in the Central Valley of California. Has nothing to do with the three. It smelled. You've just got to tell the simple people something. You have to give them an explanation. But the real reason they've destroyed the economy of the Central Valley of California and cut off water to the farms there is that they want to actually shift agricultural production to other countries. And so look at the apples when you buy them, and there's a little tag on there. You'll find they were grown in Chile. They were grown in New Zealand. Increasingly, our agriculture is being produced elsewhere. Gilroy used to be the garlic capital of the world. It's not. And now it's someplace over in China. They're intentionally destroying agriculture, but the average American just can't believe these things are taking place. Well, right now we've got Ron calling from Richland, Washington. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Ron, do you have a question or comment for Michael?
Well, I want to commend Mr. Shaw for taking on the establishment like that. I'd like to get some. I'll probably have to get. I'd like to get on his website and just bring that to the attention of my local officials here in Eastern Washington.
Well, that's freedomadvocates.org. Go ahead. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, just a comment is if people look at freedom as not the freedom of speech, but the freedom of to be a mooch, then if that's what they view freedom as, freedom not of speech, but freedom from work, freedom from responsibility, we don't have a chance.
Well, I thought we're going to be back in just a moment here, but you stay right there, and we'll let Michael respond to what
sure.
you said. This is Dr. Stan. I guess, of course, is Michael Shaw. We have Ron calling from Richland, Washington. Ron, what else did you want to say?
Well, the clergy seem to be somewhat involved in this, some of the big church organizations.
And they aren't on the side of liberty. They're on the side of globalism.
You're absolutely right.
That's one of the things that really worries me.
Well, have you
to
ever,
me, it's kind of anti-biblical.
Well, let's get to Michael's remarks on what you're saying. Michael, how would you respond to Ron?
Well, as to the church matters, it was Al Gore, who was a huge champion of Agenda 21 and carries the ball on the global warming hoax. But while he was vice president, he instituted the faith-based initiative, which was intended to use governmental power to entice churches across this country to have a faith-based support for globalism, for Agenda 21. And that has been a successful program, as you point out, Ron, in many, many churches, Protestant and Catholic, you know, and Jewish synagogues. I mean, not all of them, not all parishes, but many, many churches. They've neutralized and the average cleric through tax law, and then they have enticed other clerics who have been easily misled to this globalist monster that seeks a one-world religion and seeks an 85% reduction in human population. And that brings me to the earlier point you made, Ron, and that is about the attitude that exists in so many Americans. And I feel badly for the folks that think they're entitled to a life supported by somebody else. But, of course, government has been delivering that message through its policy and through its school system for many decades now, with increasing force. But the reality is that people who accept that philosophy, they can't win, because the end result of globalism is not a world where you sit on your rear end and you're taken care of. Not at all. The future world, the world where the American middle class has been eliminated.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Michael was just talking to Ron, calling from Richland, Washington, and saying that, you know, this idea that, oh, you don't have to work, you know, they're going to provide you with food stamps, they're going to give you a housing allowance, you're going to be able to get on free medical care, and boy, this is really great until all power is centralized in Washington. You wake up one morning and they say, well, now we have total control. We've collected the guns, they're all registered, we're collecting them all, and because of the financial problems, everybody's going to have to report to a camp. And ladies and gentlemen, this is really what they plan. They plan the destruction of freedom here in America. And the idea is, oh, everybody's getting something for nothing, you know, when you can borrow from Peter to pay Paul. Well, that's even better, you know. You don't have to borrow from Peter. You can just borrow the money and you give something to both Peter and Paul. Everybody will support you. That's just what they're doing today. But ladies and gentlemen, the time finally comes. The day of reckoning when all freedom is lost and becomes simply a remembrance of things past. Well, you hang on there, Ron, for just a minute. I want to give Michael a chance to get out the information so people will know how to get hold of his ministry. And then if you're out there and the listening audience would like to call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, Michael, why don't you tell people how they get hold of your ministry?
Well, our website is easy to access. It's freedomadvocates.org. And when you get there, you'll find 10 years of compilation by a crew of us who have coordinated with people all over the world, not just over the United States, to explain the local experiences of the implementation of Agenda 21. And so from there, we're able to write a good commentary supported by, you know, links to the documents that evidence the plan its implementation. It is designed to make America simply an outpost in this new world order where there is no middle class.
And basically it's the reestablishment of a feudal type of society. They know what they're doing. They're coordinated. They have unlimited money. They control the media, and they control the minds of so many people who've never stopped and understood what freedom is about. Well, basically, why don't you get your website and your telephone number out, please?
Well, the website, again, is freedomadvocates.org, and the phone number is 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232. When you get to the website, you'll find all kinds of substantive information. You can get in audio versions and in video, and through lots of writings. There's a good research center with a lot of the documents that, that you need to know exist. You know, not too many people are going to read all these documents, but that's why the commentary, assessments, and experiences that we report on from around the world help you gain a relatively quick, it's not an overnight study, but you can get a relatively quick idea of what it is that reconciles all the nonsense that we're seeing. But back to Ron's point and about education, it's clear that so many people in America have been misled and that their education has done nothing to put them on the right track. Those people I feel particularly saddened for because they've been misled into a dead end. Because the funny money they're receiving today, the fiat money, the money issued by the Federal Reserve, a consortium of international banking families that issue our money in the form of loans to us, is a system that's been used before. It's the system our forefathers warned us against. It's the system that the forefathers thought they could defeat by mandating gold and silver money. But the American government abandoned that situation nearly 100 years ago. And so by now, all this funny money system and a full economy built upon something that is not sound is being leveraged by those who created it to extract total control over the human race.
And because what's so amazing is the banking system creates money out of nothing. If a bank has $10, you can lend out $100. If you're an investment bank, you can lend out maybe $500 based upon that $10 you've got on deposit. It's a totally fraudulent system that creates money out of nothing. And that's why, of course, a bank can lend a great deal of money, say, on a credit card, and if you don't pay it back, they'll make your life miserable, but they're not going to go bankrupt because they don't have, they may only have a few cents on the dollar actually invested themselves. When you understand what they've done, this is the path to enslavement. Well, certainly, Ron, did you have anything else you wanted to say before we let you go?
Well, I went to a school board meeting, and one fellow came up and complained about some of the salacious and violent literature that his children had to read. I'm not personally acquainted with that, but I'm certainly not surprised given what some of the mindset of some of the teachers is, and especially NEA. In fact, if the truth in labeling law applied to organizations, it would be called the Globalist Indoctrination Association.
But what you must understand, Ron, is that they're trying to rape the souls of our children, to destroy their modesty, to destroy their moral fabric. It is being done. This is the purpose of education. It's not to teach them. They know far more about sex than they do about Shakespeare, far more about Madonna than they do about mathematics. We got a real problem, and we'll be back. I've got to run, but thanks so very much.
Yes, sir.
All right, fine. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from Oak Ridge, Oregon. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Bill, do you have a question or comment?
Both. Real quick. I live in a town that's been devastated by sustainable development because it was a logging town, booming. Now it's a welfare town.
But you have to understand that happened intentionally. Basically, the whole idea of the owl spotted owl, it's a fraud. Mm-hmm. They wanted to close down our lumbering. When you understand that, it all makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to educate some of the guys on the city council as far as sustainable development, Agenda 21. I've got two of them that are coming along pretty well. I've given them stuff from Michael Schaus. I gave him the website. I've given him material. I went to a town hall meeting the other day, and we have four people running for different offices here, one of them against Peter DeFazio, representative in Congress. And he knows about this stuff. And two other ones, I asked them flat out, what do you know about Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, or the Wildlands Project? And they looked at me like a deer in the headlights. And I said, you're talking about bringing jobs back to Oregon. You better get a handle on this because your opposition, they know all about this. They're implementing it, and you don't know anything about it. So I gave them Michael Shaw's website. And but what else can I do to inform these people that are running for office about this stuff?
Okay, Michael, that's your question. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're doing exactly what should be done. What you need to understand is people running for office oftentimes are just committed to their party. And I can tell you from direct experiences that if you're running as a Republican and you talk about Agenda 21, you are persona non grata. So the problem we have with people running for office is, are they running for office in order to be important? In other words, they've got a kiss up to get lifted up? Or are they running for office because they hold the spirit of America inside them? And the problem is that to date, people running for office are largely in the first category. So I think you can take the horse to water, and it sounds like you're doing a great job of doing that, and we're hearing more and more stories like this from across the country. If it's not happening in your town, Mr. Radio Liberty listener, it's time for you to begin to bring it to your town, just like you have. And so I'd say keep doing what you're doing, but don't waste too much. When you find that an individual is a waste of time, move on. Because cause other people to understand it. Eventually, in local towns, it's going to be when the people in the town are saying, hey, Mr. Politician, play straight or be ridden out of town.
And if I could just say, Bill, what you want to do is ask questions. Why have they shut down our lumber? You don't really think it's because, you don't really think it's because of the spotted owl. What's the real reason? And then you answer it. They want to destroy our lumbering. They want to destroy our automotive. They want to destroy our textiles and our electronic and our automobile industry and our aluminum industry. And when you understand that they know exactly what they're doing, why do you think they don't seal our borders? Why are we outsourcing our jobs? Why are we rewarding corporations for moving overseas? Ask them those questions. Try to get them to think. Once you get them to think, they're going to begin to recognize the wisdom of what you're saying.
Right.
I will be speaking in Southern Oregon on October 9th.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
How can people get to hear your talk there?
Well, go to our website. In the Globalism versus America section, you know, this is Michael Shaw Speaks. Go down to your location, Southern Oregon situation, and you'll get the details of when and where. It's Saturday, October 9th at 10:30.
Well, we'll be there.
Good.
We have a local group here, a 912 group, and I'm educating all of them on this.
All right, get them down to here, Michael. And basically, it's a hard thing to go out on the speaking tours, but he's doing this because he wants to educate you so you can get the people in your community educated. Sounds like you're doing a good job.
Okay.
God bless you. Thanks so very much.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
You're welcome. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and 464-8295. And ladies and gentlemen, this is happening all across America. People like Bill have gone to Michael's website at freedomadvocates.org. They've got the information. They're passing it out. And we know so many communities where, of course, they're beginning to change. They're beginning to wake up. And you could be the catalyst that would make it happen. Well, Michael, somebody called in and asked, what may be the jurisdiction of the National Ocean Council? I've never heard of the National Ocean Council. Have you?
Yes, this is the new, newly created implementation of some UN treaties that have not been ratified by the U.S. Senate for 20 to 30 years. They've been turned down by the U.S. Senate. So Obama, about 6 weeks ago, by executive order, implemented these treaties, which call for the creation of councils, that is Soviet systems, to manage each section of each coastal zone section in the United States, to include the coasts of some interior lakes.
All right, I think it's important that people understand this is the Law of the Sea Treaty, or the Lost Treaty, Law of the Sea Treaty. He's implementing it. He doesn't care that the Senate doesn't want it, because you have to understand Congress and the Senate are simply figureheads. The real power is the forces working behind the scenes to bring about a world government. And if the Senate doesn't want to pass the treaty, so be it. We'll just go ahead and implement it anyway. That's what we've done with the Biodiversity Treaty and Agenda 21. None of these, of course, are law in America. They're just being implemented as they were law because, of course, most of what goes on today goes behind, takes place in smoke-filled rooms by the elite who run America and have a different worldview. They want a one-world government, a feudal system with a new set of aristocrats who will rule the world. This is what it's all about. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, well, I sure it must be encouraging for you, Michael, to hear that there are people up there in Oregon that that are beginning to wake up. And if you want to, we certainly announce any of your other speaking places where you're going to be, so you can let people know where it's going to be, why, that'll be fine, or you can let us do that later, whatever you'd like.
Well, I'll say on October 17th, I'll be at your conference here in Santa Cruz County, and I'm sure looking forward to that. And I hope you know, people in Central California hearing this message are able to come to the Radio Liberty Conference on October 17th of this year. So I'll look forward to meeting local people who can come to that conference, because I know there'll be a lot of good stuff. And, you know, I always say when people don't understand Agenda 21, they have no chance of taking a meaningful position in the defense of liberty. And, you know, those are people who are simply failing in a very primary duty of life.
And Michael will have a couple of tables there, so you'll have an opportunity to see a great deal of his material.
So I'll look forward to that for certain, Dr. Stanley.
All right. And what about any of the talks you'd like to talk about, or maybe you can let us know later and we can announce them so people will know to go. And certainly people there in Southern Oregon should make it a point. Now, go to Michael's website, find out where it is. Is there a telephone number? Is there a charge or anything to get in?
I'm not sure how they're doing this. I think there is a $10 charge, but I don't know that for absolute sure.
Well,
the information can be had at our website, and on October 19th, I'll be in northern Arkansas, and information about that will be delivered to the website here shortly. So if you're in northern Arkansas or southern Missouri, that's an area that you know, as we begin to do our research, I say this all the time, begin to do the research about the local implementation of sustainable development in a place like northern Arkansas, and I'm just overwhelmed. But I've been overwhelmed with every community I've gone into with how far they're advanced. I tend to think, well, you know, Dr. Stan, we live in Santa Cruz, we know this stuff because we're in the worst place in the world for this stuff. The reality is that Santa Cruz isn't, it may have been the first, but it is not the worst. It is merely average today in terms of the implementation of sustainable development. Every community I go into, when we do the research, we are literally astounded ourselves by the infiltration of the sustainability movement. And I look around and I say, well, they must see their finish line, because it's always been the motto for them to crawl like a turtle for as long as it takes. George Orwell told us this, but when they get to see the finish line, they break into a whirling dash. And that's what we're going through right now.
And
they
no.
are on the fast track to implement sustainable development in your town, and it will happen unless you do something about it.
And they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know, as they begin to talk about, oh, my goodness, we're going to have to limit the use of electricity in certain times of the day. That's what the smart meters are all about, ladies and gentlemen. And if you don't do what you're told, they'll run your electric rate up, and you don't pay your electric bill, they'll simply turn it off. They want to limit the amount of water you use. Well, you say that's ridiculous. Well, they've done everything they could to block, you know, solutions to the water shortage. I mean, they don't want a solution. They don't want adequate water. They want to be able to limit the water so they can control the people. When you understand the true nature of this agenda, it all makes sense. And when, of course, then you see more and more people losing their jobs, when you see them allowing major corporations to go overseas and then rewarding those corporations that have betrayed America by telling them they don't have to pay any taxes, any corporate taxes here, what do you think corporations are going to do? They're going to move overseas, of course, and that's just what they want them to do. You get what you subsidize, and we're subsidizing the betrayal of America. Well, Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Okay, I will look forward to doing this. I will be speaking, I think, in San Antonio on the 25th of October, and in Louisville.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
About to be certainly destroyed here in America, about to be extinguished. The sacred flame of liberty, that was a phrase that George Washington used. It really describes what we had here in America. But you see, there's a small group that is using the military and financial power of our nation to destroy this nation and to enslave the world. Let me read you what Barry Goldwater said. We have copies, secondhand copies of his book, with no apologies, and you need to have this. On page 280, he talks about the Trilateral Commission, saying the Council on Foreign Relations is national, but the Trilateral Commission is international. It is intended to be the vehicle for multinational consolidation of the commercial and banking interests by seizing control of the political government of the United States. In my view, the Trilateral Commission represents a skillful, coordinated effort to seize control and consolidate four centers of power, political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical. The Commission emphasizes the necessity of eliminating artificial barriers to world commerce, tariffs, export duties, quotas. What it proposes to substitute is an international economy managed and controlled by international monetary groups through the mechanics of international conglomerate manufacturing and business enterprises. Freedom, spiritual, political, or economic, is denied any importance in the trilateral construction of the next century. What the trilateralists truly intend is the creation of a worldwide economic power, superior to the governments of the nations, states involved. They believe the abundant materialism they propose to create will overwhelm existing differences. As managers and creators of this system, they will rule the future. And ladies and gentlemen, they do rule the future. They control our government between 1977 and 2008. Every president and or vice president of the United States came from the very small 87, 89 members of the Trilateral Commission. They control our nation today. They control the Obama administration. And the fact that Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity will not tell you that. You need to get, well, you need to get Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies. We do carry it. You need to get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, and it really tells you about the secret society that became the Council on Foreign Relations that spawned the Trilateral Commission in 1973. The Tragedy and Hope, Barry Goldwater's book, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And of course, you can get in our Secret Government 4-CD set an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells you how his book that tells about the secret society was actively suppressed for many years. Fascinating view of history. Now, this is the time I have to remind you, we are having our conference, our all-day conference, on the 17th of October, and if you're out there, well, we hope you can come. We're going to have, of course, Michael Shaw and speakers from across the country, Paul Williams, Dr. David Ayoub, Sheriff Richard Mack will be here. It'll be a great day. You're going to have reservations because we are serving lunch. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We've got about 2.5 weeks to get the reservations in. We have to have them in a week before the conference. So we hope you can come and bring others. There are a lot of people out there who really don't understand what's going on. But I will tell you that if they come to one of our meetings, why, they'll begin to catch a glimpse of what's going on and meet other people from across America who are concerned, who are being active, and who are educating others. So again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website. That's radioliberty.com, radioliberty.com. There's a place there. You can get the telephone number. You can listen on your cell phone to our programs 24 hours a day. You can listen on the Internet 9 hours a day. You can watch our DVDs. You can read our newsletters. But tell other people about the programs. Because the best thing you could do for anyone is to let them understand the true spiritual nature of the battle in which we're engaged. And then please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need reminders of the views that are expressed here and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They are my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Ellen Brown, and Ellen's a prolific writer on financial issues. She has some excellent ideas, and so we've asked her to be with us here this evening to talk about her latest news article or whatever she thinks is really vitally important, because, ladies and gentlemen, the key to everything going on is finances. Now, you must understand why we have the financial contraction. It's very, very simple. We have a fraudulent type of monetary system. It's based upon a fractional reserve system where banks create money out of nothing and can massively loan and stimulate the economy. And, of course, if somebody gave you $1 million, why, you'd be pretty rich, and you could go out and have a great time. The only trouble is that if you had to pay the money back at some time in the future, you'd be in real trouble. Well, here, what's happened is the banks have simply curtailed lending. They're doing it intentionally. They're doing it purposely. They're contracting this whole credit bubble. And as a result, we see the disastrous consequences. And they know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know that they're doing this, I believe, on purpose. But, Ellen, go ahead. And I want your opinion of what's going on today.
I agree with you. There's certainly reason to suspect. I'm sure there are well-meaning people working at the Bank for International Settlements, like at any big institution, but the effect of what they're doing is to contract the money supply. And what they've done recently, what my article was about, was on September 13th, they set new capital requirements. And this is called Basel III. Basel I were the original capital requirements, and they were set back in, I believe, 1989, and the immediate effect was to cripple the Japanese banks, and it appeared that that was purpose. The Japanese banks at that time were the world's largest creditors, but they were lending with less capital. In other words, they would take $6 of capital and create $100 of loans, and so the rule was raised to 8% or $8 of capital for $100 of loans, and just that little bit was enough to bring them to their knees, and they've never recovered.
And I think it's so important to realize that at that time, I think 8 of the 10 largest, the world's largest banks were Japanese banks. And of course today, why, of course, their banks have been really crippled. The whole Japanese economy has been crippled by this curtailment of this, their ability to simply create as much capital as they wanted. To create money out of nothing, isn't that wonderful? If you and I could do that, we could live like kings. But the only trouble is that one day comes the day of reckoning. Well, go right ahead, Ellen.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of those rules were that that you had to value your capital requirement went according to risk. And so the way the Wall Street banks got around this rule was that they sold off their loans, and they protected them with, they put them off their balance sheets, off their books, and protected them with derivatives, supposedly. In other words, they sold off the risk to yet other investors. And supposedly, so derivatives are really just debts, but they were sold as if they were an insurance. So our banks escaped until the mark-to-market rule was imposed, and that was the very month that our stock market collapsed. It was November of 2007. I'll hear your music.
Go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop. Don't you worry.
Okay.
So basically, of course, it was the Basel II that it imposed new rules on banking excesses, and that was, of course, began to bring down the stock market in November, December of 2007. It began to contract it. We'll be right back. All right, Ellen, go right ahead.
And so Basel III is raising the capital requirements even more, and the argument is that they're doing it to prevent a repeat of what happened in 2008 when we had the big bailout, when some big banks collapsed. Well, it was when Lehman Brothers went bankrupt on September 15th, and AIG went bankrupt the same day. That was the world's largest insurance company, and they were the ones who were underwriting all these derivatives. That's why they were in trouble. So on September 16th, the Federal Reserve bailed out AIG by actually buying the thing, you know, buying stock in it. But they didn't bail out Lehman Brothers. Lehman Brothers went bankrupt. Lehman Brothers was a counterparty on, or that is, the party on the other side of these deals called repos. Well, it was the money market. It's pretty complicated, but it was the money market that collapsed because there was basically a run on the money market when the investors realized that their money was not backed by AAA securities like represented. They all pulled their money out at once, and there was a run on the banks, and the whole thing collapsed. And that was when Henry Paulson stepped in, dropped to his knees, and said that if we didn't do the bailout, that the whole economy would collapse.
And that was, of course, the TARP bailout. But Henry Paulson said, I remember on television saying, this money is not for Wall Street. This money is not for Wall Street. This is for Main Street. This is to help the little guy so he won't lose his home, so he won't lose his job. This money is for Main Street. And Henry Paulson was lying. The plan was never to give this to Main Street. And then, of course, it was even then it was turned down by the Congress. And they violated then all the rules of Congress. If legislation is rejected by Congress, you can't bring it back the same year. But they brought it back 3 or 4 days later, except they had $50 billion in bribes for the congressmen. And they managed to switch, I think it was 22 or 25 votes, about $2 billion per congressman, bribes, direct financial bribes to the congressmen, and they told them they will have martial law on Monday if you don't vote for the TARP legislation, so we can give this money to Main Street to help the little guys. And they were lying because they wanted to give the money to Wall Street, and that's exactly what they did. And Wall Street then was able to loan to India and to China and to Dubai and Spain. But they forgot that they were supposed to loan to American industry so that we could keep America going. And, of course, that was the beginning of the cascade that we see today. We'll be back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ellen Brown. And so Ellen was just saying that the second time, the Basel II, was what, of course, brought down the Lehman Brothers and this whole fiasco there in 2008. And then what happened?
So there was a credit freeze. The banks would not lend to each other. And you were talking about the fractional reserve system. What it is they create credit first. The way they create credit on their books is they create the credit first. The credit becomes, so they write a loan on one side of their books, and they write it as a liability to themselves on one side and as an asset on the other. So that loan becomes a deposit in the borrower's account. The borrower writes checks on it, which clear through a reserve pool. In other words, they basically what happens is the bank steals from the till. You know, they reach in and take some depositor's money in order to clear the check. But then they have to fill the pool again. And so to fill that pool, they go into the overnight market. So they get they go into the repo market or the money market. But these are like one-day loans. And at the moment, the Fed funds rate is 0.2%. Banks can borrow from each other for almost nothing. So that's a really good deal. You borrow, you lend the money out at, let's say, 5%, and then you reach into the pool, steal some money out of the pool, and then you replace it at 0.2%, and then you get to keep the spread. But what happened on September 18th was that there was a run on the money markets. And so the LIBOR rate, which is the rate at which banks were borrowing from each other, went up to 6%. So that was more than they were charging on their loans. And so they couldn't make any money making loans, so credit absolutely stopped. They didn't trust each other to have the money, and they wouldn't borrow from it, wouldn't lend to each other, and so credit froze. And that's what Henry Paulson was saying would bring this system down, which it would, but you can see that it's based on a fraudulent system. I mean, it's a shell game. and they were caught in their shell game. And so we, the taxpayers, had to bail them out to keep the shell game going.
I think it's important that people understand that there are two sources of money. One is the Treasury prints the bills and the money and then gives it to the Federal Reserve and they can spend it into circulation. That is real tangible money. It's paper money, greenbacks. But of course then banks create credit, which they call credit money. And here it's all fictitious. There's nothing there. But they can, as long as they can lend 10 times or 9 times what they have on deposit, they're lending all this money, and because it's all bank entries. It's not real. There's no money there. There's no greenbacks behind it. It's all a fiction. But since people don't know it's a fiction, why, Chris, this is why a bank can certainly lend you on your credit card $1,000 and you don't pay it back. They just write it off. I mean, they've only got maybe $10, $100 at the most, basis your $1,000 loan. And so they're not too concerned about it. Or if you give them back $100 and $1,000, they'll be happy as a clam because they haven't lost anything. It's all fictional. The average individual has no idea how the system works. It creates a new class, us common people, and then the banking class that really runs things behind the scenes, creates money out of nothing, and then, of course, has the audacity to charge people interest on that, and then send the debt collectors, if you don't pay them back, the money upon which they have created out of nothing. But go right ahead, Ellen.
Agree that they create the money, but I think the banks are liable in the sense that they have to cover those loans, and they do it by borrowing back the money they just created. So you could create, for example, a $100 loan. It would go out of your bank, go into the next bank. You now are $100 short in your reserves, and the other bank has $100 in excess reserves, and so then they lend it back to you at 0.2%. So you borrow it back very cheaply and cover your loan, so that's how it's created. So it works as long as all the banks are working together and are shuffling the paper around or the numbers around. But if they stop lending because something goes wrong in the system, that's where the systemic weakness is, as they say, the vulnerability. Well, the vulnerability in September of 2008 was in the money market, which is not even covered. But it's not covered by FDIC insurance. It's not covered by the Federal Reserve. In other words, they don't borrow from the Federal Reserve if they run out. And there's a third protection that I've forgotten that they don't have. Anyway, it's a totally different market. It's called the shadow banking system. And the reason they set it up, or the reason there's a big call for it, is that FDIC insurance only covers $250,000, but in the last 30 years, we've had this explosive growth of institutional lenders that have way more than $250,000. It's like pension funds, mutual funds, hedge funds, sovereign wealth funds. They're all looking for a place to park their money overnight. They want to be able to pull it out just like they were putting in a bank. But they don't want a deposit account in a bank because the bank could go bankrupt and they won't be covered by the government. So where they find the security is through, this is all stuff that they can get away with because of those special rules, those special provisions in Basel II. They put it into a special purpose vehicle, the bank sets up a special purpose vehicle which serves the purpose of the shadow bank. And then the special purpose vehicle takes the money from the investors and they give the money, or they give the investors mortgage-backed securities, supposedly. Securities, so it's something backed by a mortgage or backed by collateral. A federal debt would do it. So they give them security and they take back the dollars. And then it's a one-day deal. It's a one-day it's a purchase and sale. So then they buy it back the next day. So that's why it's so liquid. They can pull it out in one day. But that means it's just like Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life, that they're borrowing very short one-day deals in order to, the banks then use that money to do housing loans, which are long-term things. So they can get caught in the middle. Where if the money market dries up, as it did in that particular case, they can be caught. So Basel III was a new set of rules where they raised the capital requirement on the presumption that what went wrong was that the banks were lending without enough capital. In other words, they were leveraging too much. They were creating too many loans relative to how much capital they had. But that's not what went wrong. What went where the thing fell apart was in the shadow banking system. That's where the systemic weakness was. And you might say, well, the Bank for International Settlements just doesn't know that. But in my previous article, I cited a paper by the Bank for International Settlements pointing out that what was causing credit to collapse or to tighten was the capital requirements of the Bank for International Settlements. So they know that they're raising the capital requirements is making the credit situation worse, and they're still doing it. Either that or they don't read each other. Maybe they're so big that they have different departments and they don't read their own papers.
Or maybe they want to contract the economy of the world, because that's really in essence what they're going to be doing, isn't it?
That's what you have to suspect.
And you and I are smart enough to figure that, you know. And I'm a retired orthopedic surgeon, and I know that you understand this far better than most people. But you would think that if you and I would understand it, they would understand it. And I'd like to suggest they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want to, you know, the average individual to realize that they are intentionally contracting our economy. Certainly, you know, there's just no way you can understand what they're doing. I mean, they're driving the aluminum industry out of this country by raising the cost of electricity. They've raised the cost of electricity because we can't have very low-cost and efficient nuclear power. We can't have it. But our aluminum companies can move over, smelts can move over to China, where we subsidize the building of nuclear power plants. Why would we subsidize the building of nuclear power plants in China so they can have cheap and efficient electricity to provide electricity for our aluminum smelters? And then, of course, our aluminum smelters leave. It doesn't make sense unless maybe there's another agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'd like your thoughts on that. We'll go right ahead.
Well, in the 19th century, we know that they did that purposely, where they expanded the money supply by issuing lots of credit, and then there are written letters around communications between banks saying that they're going to call in their loans, and they're doing it on purpose in order to create defaults and foreclosures so they can pick up properties cheaply. I mean, it was a known business plan.
And that's what they did at the time of Andrew Jackson in the 1837 period.
And they did this,
you know, in the 1870s, and they did this in the 1890s, and they did this in 1907. They knew exactly what
they were doing. And they did it in 1930.
Absolutely.
1929, right. And that's what caused they raised the reserve requirement from 10% to 20%, knowing that this would collapse the money supply.
But they can't let the American people know that the bankers are doing this on purpose. Of course, you know, they'll say, oh, well, it wasn't the bankers, it was whatever, the Federal Reserve System or something of the sort. But they all are in cahoots together, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can't say that all bankers are bad, but somebody is pulling the string somewhere, and we can see from the effect that it's hurting us and it's helping them. So somebody knows what's going on.
Well,
they may not know exactly who it is.
Well, J.P. Morgan, of course, was the culprit back there in the latter part of the 19th century and the first part of the 20th century. He was the one who was really manipulating this whole thing. He knew what he was doing, but the average individual didn't. In fact, everybody said, oh, he was so magnanimous. Isn't it wonderful he saved us from the disasters there in 1907? And then, of course, he and his fellows got together, and the agents from the Morgan banks met with the agents from the Rockefeller banks and from the European banks, and they created the Federal Reserve System, supposedly to stabilize our economy so that we would never have another run on the bank and we could have banking stability. And you can see what a great job they've done today. We'll be back here in just a moment with Ellen Brown, trying to explore the mysteries of banking, and you've got to understand what she's saying, because she understands this better than most people. Go right ahead, Ellen.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver.
The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Trade alone, basically, and then, of course, the Federal Reserve, for the first time in history, was actually paying them on the money they deposited with the Federal Reserve System. So instead of having, you know, maybe a $10 or $20 billion, $100 billion there in the Fed, they have $1 trillion. The banks, this is all the money that ought to be lent out, is not lent out, is deposited with the Federal Reserve System. And if they were to, the banks were to lend it out, we would have $10 trillion of loans available, and it would solve the credit problem. But you see, they're not doing that, and they're still paying the banks interest on the money they deposit with the Fed. And it certainly is not a great deal of interest, but it certainly is at least an incentive, and they know it's safe there. The large banks, I believe, are all in on the scam, and they're only lending to their, their good friends and what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. But they've cut back dramatically, at least 25% on their loans. And so they're basically constricting the economy. And what is Ellen suggesting? She's suggesting that we establish a state bank in the individual states that will be answerable to the state governments and will create money so that there will be the availability of funds to get the economy going in the state. Would you like to develop any more of that idea? Because Ellen points out they have one in North Dakota. North Dakota is the only state with a surplus today where they have low unemployment and where they have a vibrant economy. Go right ahead.
North Dakota is our only model, but there are models around the world that have worked really well. In fact, this is my new project I'm writing about publicly owned banks around the world and the history of them and the fact that we haven't been told much about them. My favorite model is in Australia. The Commonwealth Bank of Australia was put into place about the same time as the Bank of North Dakota. Well, actually, it was 1912. Bank of North Dakota was 1919. But it was, in both cases, it was after a big banking collapse in the 1890s. And in Australia, they could see that the private banks had failed, and so the government decided, well, they'll just have to step in and do it themselves. So they set up a bank, publicly owned, and this alarmed the bankers, and so they wanted to make sure that they had one of their men in there controlling it. So they put in a banker, hardened, experienced banker named Dennison Miller, but he saw the potential of the bank and what it could do for the people, and so he used his knowledge of how banking works and how bankers just create credit and get things going just with credit. He used that to the advantage of the country rather than the advantage of the bankers. So the bankers said, well, you're going to need $1 million for capital to get going. They wanted him to borrow from them to put him in their debt. And he said, no, we're going to start this bank with no capital. We're just going to lend the credit of the nation. And that's what he did and got built all sorts of infrastructure, funded various industries, and funded Australia's participation in World War One, and did that all just on the national credit. And then in 1920, it actually became the central bank of the country, so it was actually able to print money. But before that, it was only issuing credit, just like any bank would do, but it was issuing credit for the benefit of the people rather than for the benefit of private investors.
But of course the thing is, if we were to set up state banks, we'd have to be sure that they were not taken over by the banks themselves, so that they could exploit the system. I mean, this is what they've done and they would continue doing. This is what the Federal Reserve is. It's a privately owned central bank. Who owns the central bank? Why, the bankers own the central bank. Who regulates the bankers? Why, the Federal Reserve, owned by the bankers. And the system is set up to benefit the banking industry. We carry a book written back in 1899 called The Coming Battle, and the basic theme is the banks want to take over control of our government. What has happened? The banks control the government today. So do they control the Fed? And the Fed determines the economic policies. It determines whether or not we have a monetary expansion and prosperity, whether we have monetary contraction, and certainly poverty. Would you agree with that basic concept?
I do.
You don't have to agree with me.
No,
you don't have to be nice. Go ahead.
My other solution, how are we going to stand up to the bank? So this is my latest thing, but shall I go ahead?
Well, go ahead. The question is, how are we going to stand up to the bankers? And when we get back, we're going to ask Ellen to deal with that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you have a small group of very wealthy people who are able to create money out of nothing. They don't want to lose their monopoly on money creation. They don't want to have a responsible system that will help the people. They have a different worldview. They believe, of course, I mean, you're talking about these people getting bonuses of $10, $20, $50, $100 million a year. Who would want to give up something like that, especially when it can be subsidized by the common people? this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Ellen Brown. Ellen, how are we going to keep the bankers from taking over the state banks and using it for their own advantage, or from bribing the politicians so that they can take over? I mean, after all, nobody would want to give up a money tree. If you had a money tree in your backyard, you wouldn't want somebody to come and cut it down. And yet that's exactly what you're suggesting, that we set up banks that are there to benefit the people rather than the people of great wealth.
Mm-hmm. And how do we get them in there? Well, the bankers, Wall Street, may have hoisted itself on its own petard with the mortgage-backed securities scam, which is what went into the repo market that I was talking about. In order to do all that shuffling around of real estate, you're basically buying it and selling it in one day, plus, you know, mortgage-backed securities are all chopped up into little pieces. So let's say you own 10% of a fund that owned these mortgage-backed securities, you would own 10% of every house in that fund. So if you actually complied with the recording laws, you would have to record every single day multiple owners of pieces of real estate that changed hands every day. You're supposed to record with the county recorder changes in ownership of real estate. So to avoid that, the banks and other interested real estate institutions set up the mortgage electronic registration services system in the late 1990s, and it was set up as it's just an electronic system where they register or they record the piece of property in the name of MERS, the mortgage electronic registration system, and then they can do all this stuff behind that, you know, in the behind that curtain. They can keep buying and selling and switching it around, and nobody really knows who owns what. And then when they go to foreclose, then MERS assigns the title to whoever's foreclosing.
Okay, you hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Ellen Brown. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ellen Brown, and Ellen's basically talking about this idea of banks that are put together to serve the people. Now, of course, the problem is that how do you keep the bankers from bribing the politicians so that they will be able to do this? We saw this sort of thing going on down in Bell, where certainly the city officials were simply using money, the tax money of the people, as their own personal piggy bank. And if you don't think that they do this sort of thing in Sacramento, or they do this in Washington, D.C., I mean, basically, many of our congressmen have personal foundations. And who puts the money into their personal foundations? Chevron, Goldman Sachs, all the big banks put their money, and the big corporations put their money into congressmen's foundations, and then they can give that money away in their congressional districts. So the people will say, isn't he a wonderful congressman? See, he's giving me a free T-shirt. He's providing basketball games and clinics here. He's really wants to help the people. But basically, why do you think the corporations give the congressman all that money to his tax-exempt foundation? Why they want to buy his support for their legislation? This is how the government really works. Now, occasionally they'll slap the finger of somebody who does this sort of thing, but it's almost universally done. There are very, very few people who are not there, cannot be purchased by one means or another, simply by campaign contributions or gifts to your personal foundation. After Bill Clinton left the White House, he had almost $500 million. Last time I checked, it was $492 million had been donated by people who just admired and respected Bill Clinton. They'd given that money to his foundation so he could spend that money however he wanted to. Ladies and gentlemen, how many people honestly believe that people gave for almost $500 million to Bill Clinton simply because he's such a man of integrity and nobility? It's for services granted, and this is the way the system really works. Well, certainly Ellen Brown is our guest. Ellen, why don't you give out your website, tell people how they get in touch with you, get your book, get your information, because it's excellent.
My website is webofdebt.com, so that's www.webofdebt.com, and my book on this subject is called Web of Debt. I have 11 books, but that's my latest. And then we also have a new, well, my other books are on ellenbrown.com. And we also have a new website, publicbanking.com, but it's public-banking.com, where we've got all the latest news and public banking developments.
All right, fine. It's Celine Nightingale, who's running on the Constitution Party, American Party, contacted you at all. I suggested she do.
Oh, no, I haven't heard from her.
Well, I told her. I said, Ellen, I said, Celine, you need to get hold of Ellen Brown. you need to have something that these other turnips don't have, you know, and you need to let people know that you understand the banking system, which they never even talk about. And I suggested, I even gave her your telephone number. I'll call her and tell her she really needs to get in touch with you. This would be something that she would be different than either of the other two candidates there. Well, anyway, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Ellen. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888, that's 888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. This is a very important issue. Somebody once said it's money that makes the world go round. It really does. But if you have a money tree in your backyard, which is what the bankers have, and of course you create money out of nothing, you wouldn't want somebody to come along and cut down that money tree, or certainly as the Basel III is doing, is to increase dramatically the amount of money you've got to keep on hand. Do you want to talk a little bit about Basel III? We really haven't got too much into that. We've covered Basel I, Basel II. What are the implications of Basel III?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to finish up on how we can. There are 62 million mortgages are in the name of MERS. That's like half of the mortgages in the country. And recent case law in several jurisdictions, there was a recent case in California, a bankruptcy court case, the Kansas Supreme Court, there's a case in Florida, there's a case in Nevada, there's have held that MERS, that if you record your title in the name of MERS, it breaks the chain of title. In other words, there is no title to convey, and therefore all these foreclosures are void. Not only the ones that are pending, but foreclosures that have already happened. So we're actually working on a class action right now to establish that 62 million homes are owned free and clear by the borrowers. So that would give us a lot of clout in Congress if we have 62 million people who have the power, at least, to just walk away from their mortgage notes.
And isn't that, wouldn't that be a terrible thing? That would be just like cutting down the money tree that has financed the banks. Ladies and gentlemen, all you need to do is look and see the bonuses that the people at Goldman Sachs, they were going to have something like, I forgot whether it was $12 or $26 billion that they were going to be paying just this last year to their executives. Somewhere between $12 and $26 billion. You know, $1 billion here, $1 billion there. Henry Paulson, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, who retired, I think, with $600 or $800 million. Just working there at Goldman Sachs. Then he went to work. He resigned from Goldman Sachs. He took a job at $180,000 a year to become Secretary of the Treasury. Why would anybody give up, you know, a job paying, you know, probably at $20 or $30 million a year to go to work for a job with $180,000 a year? Why, very simply, so Henry Paulson could give all the TARP money to his friends in the banking industry. He promised the American people the TARP money was for Main Street. He said it is not for Wall Street. I heard him say it. This is not for Wall Street. This is for Main Street. And then, just over the weekend, he changed his mind, and he gave the money to his buddies in the banking system. And he should have been arrested and tried for treason, but of course, after all, the legislation that was enacted by Barney Frank, he drew up the legislation. He just forgot to put in there that the money was to go to Main Street, and so, after all, Henry could give it any place he wanted, so he gave it to his buddies in the banking system. But he forgot to tell them they were supposed to lend it to industries in America. So they lent the money to industries in China, and they lent the money to industries in India, and they lent the money to industries in Dubai, and they lent the money to industries in Spain, and the American economy collapsed. How could a guy who made so much money working for Goldman Sachs have been so stupid unintentionally? Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. And these are companies that would not exist if we hadn't bailed them out. And as you said, they're paying themselves these huge bonuses. It's so blatant. But as for the effect of Basel III, funnily enough, they raised the requirements just enough that the Wall Street banks can already meet those requirements. So they're not going to be hurt by it. The banks that are going to have trouble with it are the small banks. Well, these are the banks that make the loans for consumers and the loans for small businesses. Wall Street just takes their money and gambles with it or does international things. So the credit that affects us is being cut off at the knees by our small local banks, which did not get bailout money. And so they are not able to meet their capital requirements. I was talking to a banker in Missouri. He said that his bank, his small bank, has not made a loan in 2 years because they can't meet the capital requirement. The way it works is that you're only allowed a certain amount of outstanding credit for your capital, and because loans have defaulted and real estate has been dropped in value, they have to wait for those loans to get paid off before they can make more loans. So credit has dried up locally, and meanwhile, Wall Street is just having one big party after another.
And, of course, they're investing their money, and, basically they can borrow for zero or 0.25%, and then they can lend it out and buy tree bills that'll pay 3 or 4%. Mm-hmm. So you make the spread, and you can borrow, $100 million, $200 million, $500 million, borrow as much as you want. The door is open for the big banks. The little banks can't get. Can the little banks get in there at those rates?
They can borrow at those rates from each other, but they still have the capital requirement. That has to do with the reserve requirement.
Can they borrow from the Fed at that rate?
The Fed window rate is a little higher, but not a lot higher. They borrow from each other first, and they only go to the Fed if they can't get it from each other.
All right, fine. Well, so basically, what's happened is the banking system is contracting. There's nothing wrong with the banking system. It's simply they've set this thing up. The big banks are all in on the scam. The small banks, they have real restrictions as far as lending are because of the rules and regulations. And because so many of the, say, the homes are certainly commercial projects that they borrowed on or they lent money to, they're underwater. I mean, they're not worth the amount of money that they've lent on them. So they've got real problems. And suddenly, about every Friday, why the FDIC goes out and of course collects. A number of the banks just close them down. I think we're up to about 125 banks so far this year that have been actually closed or just given to the friends of the people who work in government.
I'm not sure, no.
Well, the figure is actually 125 as of Monday. So basically 125 banks have been closed down, and we've got, almost a three and a half more months to go. So we'll actually close down more banks this year than they did last year. Last year they closed 140 banks. But what they do is they say, well, we're going to come in. We're just going to take over your bank. Your stockholders, your bondholders, they're going to lose everything. And, of course, we will sell the deposits to our friends in this bank, that bank. And if you think government officials are fair or impartial, why, of course, you've been, you really don't see the world as it really works. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And it sure pays to have friends in high places or in the Federal Deposit Insurance Company. Go right ahead.
Well, the banks small banks or any bank can borrow from each other at the Fed funds rate, assuming the other banks will lend. In other words, assuming we don't have some sort of crisis like we had in September of 2008. But that just satisfies the reserve requirement. It doesn't satisfy the capital requirement. And it's the capital requirement that is preventing them from lending, and that's exactly what that Bank for International Settlements paper said, that I was quoted in an earlier article, that it's the capital requirement, not the reserve requirement, that's preventing lending, and that's why this quantitative easing is not working because that goes to the reserve requirement.
It's the capital requirement. Is that right? They have to have a certain amount of capital. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and the capital is their own money. Reserves are the deposits they get from the other banks. They can borrow those, or they get from their depositors, of course. But capital is equity. It's the money you get from your investors. Well, nobody wants to invest in these banks right now. It's real hard for them to be raising more capital. Or either that, or they can get it from their own profits, you know, interest they make or whatever. But they're just not being profitable right now. So that's where they're being choked off. And now they're raising the capital requirement on these small banks that already can't meet it.
Well, then won't a lot of the small banks then just go under because of the increase in the capital requirements? And what is that? It's going to take effect in, what, about 2013?
That's another thing. It's not fully effective till 2019. So some people say, well, that can't be what they're up to because look how what a long range. But we're talking about a 300-year plan here if you read the literature that – Or like Carol Quigley wrote in the 60s, and he said that their long range, the plan of the international bankers, which is what he called them, he was an insider. He's a professor at Georgetown University. He was an insider who was basically the librarian for the international bankers. They gave him all this information to catalog, and but they wanted to keep it quiet. And he actually thought what they were up to was a good idea, but the one place where he disagreed with them was that he thought it should be public. So he wrote a book called Tragedy and Hope, which was immediately suppressed. But in this book, he said that their goal, their plan, was to control the world by controlling the money system of the world. And they would do it by making it look like governments were creating the money, but in fact they would be creating the money and lending it to governments. So
that's on page 324 or 325. I can't remember which, but it's either page 324 or 325. You really have to get that book, ladies and gentlemen, and read what Professor Quigley said. He knew what was going on. He was the leading historian of the last century, according to Samuel Huntington, the professor at Harvard. And Professor Quigley had really understood his discussion on finance, I think, is one of the best I've ever read, don't you think?
I do. I haven't read the whole 900 pages, but he said that at the apex of the system would be the Bank for International Settlements. Well, that was in the 60s when nobody had ever heard of the bank. I mean, they were keeping the whole thing quiet. Nobody heard of it until they built a great big ugly building. But before that, they were meeting. You had to go through a cafe or something to get into the real building. It was quite secret where they were meeting, and it was all, you know, they kept it all under wraps what they were up to.
Well, I think that big ugly building is made sort of in the shape of a shoe. And, of course, my friend Dr. Cuddy points out the reference in George Orwell's 1984 where O'Brien tells Winston, socialism is a boot stamping on a human face forever. And if you look at the building, it looks like a boot. Go right ahead.
It does, yeah. My daughter lives 2 blocks from there. So.
What's your daughter doing over there in Basel?
She actually works for a UN NGO dealing with alternative funding sources for alternative energy systems.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that must be... Switzerland's a lovely, lovely country.
Uh-huh, it is, yeah.
Well, anyway, of course, then what's going to happen? Certainly the banks are going to have to raise capital, but how can they raise capital when their assets are all underwater? Many of their assets are underwater.
Yeah, so then the big banks take them over. That's what they, well, look at Bear Stearns, for example. Supposedly it was rescued by J.P. Morgan, but actually it was a hostile takeover by just J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan got the money from the Fed. The Fed made a Federal Reserve. They met over the weekend when Bear Stearns couldn't. Bear Stearns was in this bear trap where they couldn't borrow from the other banks refused to lend to them. But they actually had the collateral. It was just that the other banks wouldn't lend. It was, just like the collapse of 2008 when suddenly the money markets froze up. So J.P. Morgan got a loan from the Federal Reserve, and Bear Stearns got a loan, but then J.P. Morgan took over Bear Stearns. So basically the whole thing was a $55 billion loan to J.P. Morgan, to buy out Bear Stearns
and
literally pennies on the dollar.
And basically, of course, I mean, the government could have given the money to Bear Stearns and kept them. But basically, for whatever reason, why the people who owned Bear Stearns were not among the chosen few.
Right.
So instead of giving the money to Bear Stearns, they gave the money to J.P. Morgan to take over Bear Stearns, pennies on the dollar. And a lot of people were invested in Bear Stearns and lost their shirts. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the way the world really works. We'll be back in just a moment with Ellen to wrap up tonight's program. Well, we've got Tom calling from Santa Cruz. Tom, do you have a question for our guest? Tom?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Ellen can tell us sometime in the future. Ellen, it's been a real pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much. You really have a great grasp of what's going on. Would you by any chance be available tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock for a program on a different network?
Yeah, I think I am.
All right, I'll call you in the morning and we'll get it lined up.
Okay, great.
But it's been a fascinating hour. I hope you've enjoyed it. I know I haven't. I've learned a great deal.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I have enjoyed it.
Okay, fine. God bless and thanks so much. Okay, fine. Well, that was Ellen Brown, and I hope you enjoyed the program. Certainly, you need to get to understand what is going on financially. Most people really have no grasp of this at all. Tom's point. That, you know, you go up against the banksters, why you can't win. And that is, probably is true. I mean, certainly they will bribe the judges. If they can't bribe the judges, they'll kill him or move to something else. They will kill the people. I mean, we're not dealing with nice people. Certainly, I've known a number of people, certainly, who I've been in contact with, interviewed. Certainly, Gary Webb, I was at the wrote about the CIA and drugs, and he ended up committing suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead. I've interviewed the assassins, Chip Tatum, Lieutenant Colonel Marvin, who was a professional assassin trained by the CIA in assassin school. This is not imaginary. You need to get our 4-tape set on the deadly assassins, 4-tape sets on deadly assassins. You need to get our 2 4-tape sets on President Kennedy to know who planned it. We have an interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress, who tells about the meeting held the night before the assassination, who was there. Certainly we have an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald, an interview with Dr. Crenshaw, who was in the Parkland Hospital when they brought President Kennedy in, and he was told if he ever dared to tell what he saw there, he would never practice medicine, and so he kept quiet for 25 years. Eventually he wrote a book. We have that interview with him. Certainly we have a 4-tape set on how they killed Martin Luther King. We have a 4-tape set on how they killed Bobby Kennedy. We have a 4-tape set certainly on the USS Liberty, where, of course, they intended to sink the ship and kill everybody on board, and Lyndon Johnson and Robert Strange McNamara were planning. They wanted the ship to go down so they could blame it on the Egyptians, so they could have a war with Egypt, a good war. Oh, these people love to have other people fight and bleed and suffer and die, and they intended to kill all of the sailors on that ship. And they were ordered, I believe God intervened and saved the ship, but they were told that they would be sent to Leavenworth or worse, and they knew what or worse meant. That means they'd be killed if they ever revealed what happened, and for over 20 years, every one of the sailors on that ship was too frightened to speak out, and then one by one they came forward, and you'll hear a number of them on our 4-tape set on the USS Liberty, and then we have a video that they put out, and then we have a video that be a DVD that the BBC put it out. So we've got a great special on the USS Liberty. Well, this is the time I need to give you our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. I want to remind you that we're having the all-day meeting there at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course on the 17th of October. We're bringing in speakers from across the country. We hope you can be there. That's the 17th of October. You're going to have reservations because we're going to be serving lunch. And so please get your reservations in. We've only got about 2.5 weeks. We have to let them know a week ahead of time how many people are going to be there for lunch. So do it now. Don't put it off. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 for the all-day seminar, the Radio Liberty seminar, yearly seminar. And then we ask you to send me tell others about our programs, to get them to listen to our programs, to go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, because behind everything are powerful spirits of forces. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 23 September 2010. Thank you so much for joining us today, caring more about your world than the average person does. And you're going to be finding out about that in the second hour when we talk to Rosalind Peterson about some of the latest U.S. Navy experiments. Unbelievable. I mean, they might as well just say